T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, hearing little cans in the pale moonlight. Talking Alan about Jackson cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just living for the minute.
I'm not touching the mouth.
Yeah, way down.
Somebody's goofing on my computer. Look,
someone
look.
Has taken control remotely of Scott's computer.
Our morning anchors have access, and that's probably what's happening.
Look!
To Scott's account?
Well, to the computer itself.
Because
they have
hilarious.
To be able to play audio for look, the morning show.
I'm not touching the mouse.
No, it's just somebody has remote accessed your... Yeah, that's what's happening here.
Have I touched the mouse?
No, once? Someone is logging in. It's Shank. It's Shank. Look.
Hey, Shank.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
that
she
is
must
hilarious.
Not realize that she's still on that computer.
Hang on. Let me call her.
Oh, yeah. You're calling her right now.
That
you're
is pretty
hacking
hilarious.
Scott's computer on the air. Is she some kind of covert operative?
No, our tech people set it up for her.
I don't know. She's never going to answer.
She better. Get off my computer, man.
No, ask her if she's with the CIA. Because really, who would ever expect Ellen? I go with nobody.
Uh-oh.
Can I help you?
Ellen, you're on the air. Hello.
Why am I on the air?
Well, because you're screwing around with my computer.
Are you some kind of deep covert CIA operative?
Like deep state?
Well, now it's out. Might as well go all the way.
How do my you do name, that?
My code name is Vanessa Dubois. It's
my well, Vanessa, stay off my computer. I'm trying to do some work over here.
I'm sorry. I was practicing for the morning because I had problems with the sound this morning, and I wanted to see if I could get it right. I didn't realize it would interrupt you.
No, it's just right out of like a ghost. Scott goes, oh my gosh, someone's moving my computer.
And then all of a sudden we see News Boss open up and it goes,
Shank.
And she goes, it's Ellen. It's Ellen.
Darn it. It gave me away again. Now I'm going to have to change my code name. I am terribly sorry. I didn't realize
she's
it.
She's like Steve Jobs. I had no idea you could even do this.
It's crazy.
I tried it the other morning and Jay was sure I was a hacker. I need to tell everybody beforehand that I'm doing this. But I did get in, so that's good. Maybe tomorrow will go better.
Are you emailing people seeds, too?
There is that. Have fun, you guys.
Goodbye, Ellen.
Goodbye, Ellen.
Bye-bye.
If that's your name.
Vanessa. Vanessa Dubois.
Like, I always knew the IT people could just, like, look at your computer.
That was weird.
That was really actually kind of creepy.
Like, I was showing you the computer. I'm like, I'm not touching the mouse.
I know.
There's a lot of computer repair companies that will repair your computer off-site just by tapping into it remotely.
Hmm.
Did you hear about this meteorologist out in Denver?
Former meteorologist in Denver.
Meteorologist Marty Coniglio, a staple of Denver TV weather for 3 decades, left Nine News on Friday. One day after he compared on social media federal troops in the United States to Nazis. Coniglio, in a text, confirmed his departure but said, quote, he would not be able to talk about the situation for at least a week. Mark Cornetta, the station's president and general manager, said in an email that, quote, Marty is no longer employed by Nine News. He declined to comment. Thursday morning, Coniglio tweeted, quote, federal police in cities. Now, where have I seen that before? With a picture of Nazi soldiers posing in front of a swastika.
God.
Here's the picture that he sent.
Yeah.
You see the picture?
If he's been with KUSA for 30 years.
Is that who it is, KUSA?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One would assume he's in his 50s, 60s.
Oh, at least 50s. He later deleted the tweet, but not before dozens of users screenshot it, including U.S. Congressman Ken Buck. Comparing the brave men and women of our law enforcement community to Nazis is absolutely reprehensible. Okay. Ellen just wrote me, oops, sorry.
His own bio now promotes his skills as a forensic weather expert and expert witness in legal cases and insurance claims. Mm.
There are plenty of things you could say about, I'm not looking to get into this as a topic, there are plenty of things that you could say about federal law enforcement being deployed to places like Portland and Kansas City. But to compare them to Nazis, I would argue is beyond the pale.
Well, I said to Sam out in the newsroom before the show started, I go, every time this happens, and this is not the first person to have made the comparison, it's not the first person to have this happen, to lose their job, there has to be a moment where you think, yeah, I'm going to put that out there.
That's a good idea.
And I've never understood.
I'm going to make a point.
In that moment, why someone with a 30-year plus career thinks in that moment this is going to be a good idea.
I'm trying to think of a time when you would compare anyone or anything to the Nazis. It always bothered me years ago, and I'm not getting political, but this is within the business. I think it was Rush Limbaugh. And maybe he didn't coin the term, but he certainly used it with great liberalism, no pun intended, the term feminazis. That term always bothered me. You can call them, you know, extreme feminists or feminists or whatever you want to call them, but to compare anything or anyone to the Nazis is a bridge too far for me.
It never ends well. And I just, again, don't understand why anyone would think it would be appropriate.
And you can disagree with what's going on in Portland.
Absolutely.
You can disagree with what's going on here in Kansas City, 250 federal agents on the ground. You can say, hey, you know, we didn't ask for the help. We don't need the help. We don't want the help. Or you could make the argument, we need the help, even though we didn't ask for it. Okay? That's fine. I'm not going to get into the weeds about whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing, because there's no winning this argument on either side. But you don't compare what's going on to Nazi Germany. You just don't. And if you do, you're a moron. And you probably deserve to be fired because you're dumb. You're like somebody who thinks the first two Weezer albums are the only good Weezer albums. You're dumb.
They did make, it is worth noting, over the weekend, the first arrest in a homicide. FBI agents here in Kansas City, as part of Operation Legend, assisted police in the arrest of a homicide suspect that is the first known murder charge connected to the federal anti-crime initiative. The agents in the city, as part of the surge in federal resources, assisted in locating and arresting 44-year-old Joel Roseberry, who's charged with second-degree murder and other crimes in a fatal shooting of a 28-year-old man. where was it? Outside of a convenience store, I think. Near 9th and Prospect, yes.
So we have 250 federal agents.
We have our first murder arrest. And,
okay. Money well spent.
The case occurred before Operation Legend started. However, FBI agents here, as a result of Operation Legend, assisted officers with locating and apprehending the suspect. He is charged with second-degree murder and armed criminal action.
Okay. 576-7798, Sam Stevie III. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks, I'm KMBZ.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming.
Story here from TMZ, which rarely gets it wrong. And they write, take this with a big grain of salt, but we may have a legit UFO sighting on our hands here, people. Give it a gander and then decide for yourself. And this is, by the way, on the front page of KMBZ.com. This footage was taken yesterday out in Long Beach, California, about 25 minutes south of central LA. It appears to show a UFO-like object in the air bolt across the sky at lightning-quick speed and then disappear out of frame, all while an of-this-world fighter jet flies above. The person who shot this insists it is not altered or edited at all. Now, if you buy that, then you got to ask, what the hell is it that zips across the camera's frame, if only for a moment? Watch it as many times as you need to. TMZ says we even slowed it down and paused it for a close-up view. If you look and listen carefully, you see a black dot. Perhaps it is a saucer shape, although it's hard to tell by how high it is, flash across the screen, and then disappear. As for the jets that you can hear in the background as well, we are told they were out in Long Beach flying around for no apparent reason for about 10 minutes or so.
Okay. So apparently, the Pentagon has a UFO unit. Which I didn't even know that, but they do. The Pentagon has something called the UFO unit. And they have agreed to release their findings as a former official claims, quote, off-world vehicles have been found. According to a Senate committee report, the Pentagon UFO unit does plan to release some of its findings to the public. The government program tasked to investigate unidentified flying objects called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force will make some of its discoveries known 180 days after passage of the Intelligence Authorization Act. Eric Davis, a consultant who worked with the UFO unit, disclosed that he gave a classified briefing to the Defense Department this March about the discovery of, quote, off-world vehicles not made on this Earth. Davis is an astrophysicist and works for Aerospace Corporation, and he told the New York Times that during his tenure working with the unit, they examined materials of indeterminate source and concluded, quote, we could not make this ourselves. Now, this is a guy that you would believe. He's an astrophysicist that worked in that unit. Now listen, despite reports of vehicles from other worlds, the UFO's main objective... The UFO unit's main objective is to determine if other countries are using innovative aerial technology against us. Senator Marco Rubio is concerned that nations like China or Russia could be flying unidentified aircraft over our military bases. Quoting here from Rubio, we have things flying over our bases and places where we are conducting military exercises. We don't know what it is, and it isn't ours. Frankly, if it is something from outside this planet, that might actually be better than the fact that we've seen some technological leap on behalf of the Chinese or Russians or some other adversary.
I would agree with that.
Yes, that allows them to conduct this activity.
I would agree with that. I'd rather it be aliens.
The UFO program from the Pentagon first began in 2007.
Why are you so fascinated with this?
Well, because what is it? I mean, you have an astrophysicist saying, I've looked at this stuff and we didn't make it. It cannot be something made here.
I will say this, and again, Marco Rubio brings up a really good point. Is this something that is coming from China or Russia or somewhere else?
Yeah.
North Korea, whatever.
And if they can make it, why can't we?
True. Or is this really something, you know, from outer space? Okay. I have had one incidence where I looked up to the sky and I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
It's a satellite.
No, this was not a satellite. I was driving home from Shonda's house with Maya, and we were at Shawnee Mission Parkway in Flum, and it was dusk. And I saw three dots floating through the sky, and I'm like, Maya, look at that. What is that?
It's three satellites.
I have no idea what I saw, but they moved in a way that was not natural.
Right.
Okay? Now, I don't know if this was, you know, the United States testing some sort of spy technology over our own cities just to see if it worked. I don't know if it was another country doing it. I don't know if it was something from outer space. I don't know. What I do know is what I saw was real. And it was three little bright dots, like almost dancing around in the sky. That's the only way I can describe it. And I remember Maya looking at me saying, I told you UFOs were real.
Okay, which would be worse, a UFO or something crazy from Russia or China that we cannot identify, we do not have the ability to construct, and somehow they figured out?
The latter.
Yeah.
Be much worse. Oh, come on. Scott, I can't believe the way you talk to Sam. We're good friends. We're goofing on each other. Stop. Easy. I'll be nicer, though.
My feelings are hurt.
I'm sure they are. You bet, baby.
I want more information on the off-world vehicles not made of this earth.
Well,
let me tell you this, Eric Davis.
Let me tell you this, aliens. This is not the year to come down here, okay?
Yeah, right?
This is a turd ball sandwich year.
We
okay?
have had it!
Can you wait till 2021?
I will not be probed in 2020.
This
is not happening!
Excuse me, ma'am. I saw you walking. I turned around. I'm not a stalker. Where you going? Maybe I can help you. My tank is full. I'd be obliged to take you. Cause I'm a country boy. I got a four-wheel drive. Climb in my bed. I'll take you for a ride. Up city streets. Down country roads.
Alan Jackson
is where
today.
You need to go. Cause I'm a country boy.
Oh, this is kind of sad. Two-thirds of Americans sadly think that summer loses its magic as they get older, according to new research. The survey of 2,000 adults found grown-up responsibilities, not having enough time, having a job, were the top three contributors to taking the fun out of the summer season. But despite all of that, and COVID-19, of course, respondents are determined to have the time of their lives this year. The study, which was commissioned by Dutch Brothers Coffee, revealed 7 in 10 plan on getting creative to make the most out of the summer of 2020, which is commonly referred to as the turd meatball sandwich of life. Many are drawing inspiration from a treasured place to make their summer extra special, their own childhoods. 2 in 3 say they will be embracing the same activities that they loved as kids. 3/4 say the best part of summer growing up was having all sorts of spontaneous adventures with their friends. All right. Wait. When was the best summer of your life? What age? You are now 46?
Mm-hmm.
What age was the best summer of your life? Sure as hell ain't 2020.
Man, summer of my life. You know, I think everybody thinks back to your childhood and that one trip you took with your whole family, you know, that you can all look back and laugh on. And, you know, we used to drive to Biloxi, Scott. We would rent a van and drive to Biloxi. It's like a 22-hour drive. But I still remember laughing with my mom and dad in the car and my brother on the way down. And it was more fun on the way down than it was on the way back.
Interesting story. Give me an age.
11.
Really?
Yeah.
Little younger than the average, by the way.
Okay.
The average age where people say it was the best summer of their life is 14.
14. Okay. Not quite old enough to get into a lot of trouble.
Don't have to have a job.
I think if I asked my children, they would say right around 11 to 14. We've taken a couple of trips with other families, you know, to Gulf Shores or whatever, and they still talk about those trips.
If I had to pick one from my childhood, it would be 16.
Okay.
Yeah, 16.
Okay.
That was when I went, and it wasn't my yacht. It was my buddy's dad's yacht.
Anytime there's a yacht involved, that is a good vacation.
Yeah, it was a sailboat yacht. We went up there's only one coast of Sweden. It's the East Coast. We went up the East Coast of Sweden.
Oh, wow.
For a week and a half.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was a pretty good trip.
Was that your best vacation, though?
No, not my best vacation. But, no, I mean, if we're going to do summers, it would be the trip either to Turks and Caicos or the Dominican Republic recently.
Okay.
Those were the best. Because I got to go with the kids and my mom and,
yeah.
Well, not to the Dominican, but to Turks with my mom. And, you know, it was good. It was fun. Are you doing any special vacations this summer?
No.
You're not renting an RV?
No. Really? No.
Can you see you behind the wheel of an
RV?
No,
not even for a second.
Because she's too short. You couldn't see her over the steering wheel.
A, I couldn't see over the steering wheel. And B, eventually you have to park that somewhere where there's like a porta potty, and I'm not doing that.
No, the RVs have bathrooms.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
With the blue water and
No.
You flush it?
No. No. I don't think we're going to do anything. I think, you know, I've got two kids going off to college, and I've heard once your second one goes, you stop traveling.
What? Where'd you hear that?
Almost universally, everyone has said that that's where you start cutting back because it's so expensive to have two away. So, you know, we're just going to hang local. A little staycation.
Stop it, Texter. 14, the year your pants start dropping.
Oh, my God.
Come on, 14?
No.
A little early.
What?
That's a little early. I think they mean like family vacation when they're talking 14? About that study. And I don't agree that the summers aren't as fun as you get older. They just become fun in a different way.
You seek enjoyment through watching your kids having a good time.
Sure. Or you just leave on your own.
And you're like,
I'm out. I'll see you in 9 days, maybe 12. I haven't decided.
No, I honest to God, I don't think summer vacations get bad as you get older. I mean, who wrote this? The average person had the best summer of their life at the age of 14 and had five adventures to make their summers truly memorable.
Well, and I think it's the difference between having three straight months off and
you know,
having to take a week vacation right. here, a week vacation
Fair
there.
Fair point, Sam. Good point.
I mean, all we had to do in Topeka over the summer, honestly, was go to the pool. That's the only form of entertainment that really existed.
That's what we did.
And we spent every day at the pool.
The most common activities that respondents say they're looking to recreate from their youth will be hanging out with friends, 44%, bonfires, 31%.
Bonfires?
And camping in the woods, 30%. Well, with all respect, I don't have a lot of friends anymore.
That's a depressing statement.
I really have no interest in going to a bonfire.
In the summer? No.
And I have zero interest. I mean, by zero, I mean zero interest in camping in the woods.
Oh, camping is so much fun.
No, it actually is not.
So are bonfires. Fire's cool.
When it's 102 degrees out in August?
You don't stand next to it. You just look at it.
Dude, I'd rather go to the pool.
Yeah, I'd rather go to the pool. I'm with you.
This survey sucks. Okay, swimming in a pool is number four.
Yeah.
30%. Family reunions at 27%. Okay, adults, let's not get weird here. Sleepovers with friends.
I think that's the whole kids part.
No, this is adults. This was a survey of 2,000 U.S. adults.
Well, I think they're talking about the memory over the summer of having a sleepover with friends.
I see. Okay. Right. Okay.
I never had anyone to my house because we lived on the wrong side of the tracks.
You never had a sleepover?
No, I would sleep over at other people's houses, but they could not sleep over at my house because we literally lived in the worst neighborhood in all of Topeka. And I was, because I was Indian, I was able to bus in to the better school district in West Topeka. And so my address was so far away that everyone was like, why are you here at this school when you live way over there? And one time I had one friend come over and stay the night.
And you had one friend.
But we moved in sixth grade and then everything was normal. But until sixth grade, we lived in a not, I'll bring up a photo of the house.
Was it a shack?
It was next to a shack. Ours was not a shack. The problem was we couldn't sell it. I mean, it was not in a good place. In fact, I went back 2 years ago, Scott, in my car, and I thought, I was there for a swim meet, and I had like a two-hour break. I thought, I'm going to go drive over there, because I have this weird thing about all of that. You know that.
Yeah, it's nostalgia.
No, not with that house. There's nothing nostalgic about that house. Like, police were next door constantly.
Nahisha.
15 people living there. I mean, it was just really weird and awful. So I start going down the road. I kind of remembered how to get over there. And my heart started, like, I could feel my anxiety and blood pressure going up as I neared the street. And then I'm like, oh, yep, I remember where this was. I didn't like it. I kind of pulled into the driveway. The woman on the front porch looked at me like I was crazy. I was like,
did you ask her if you could go inside?
I kind of lingered, hoping she would say, do you want to come in? But it was just...
Smoke some meth?
Yeah, correct. I probably would not have gone in.
Well, I feel bad.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Wow.
I know. But I started having sleepovers like in sixth grade. After we moved, everything was fine.
Have you ever asked anybody, like, gone to any of your childhood homes and asked somebody, can I come inside and just look around?
Yes.
I did that.
And I think most people do that, and I want to do it again because it's been probably 10 years.
I did it once, and they said no.
They said no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I did it where all my good memories are when we moved up on the hill in North Topeka next to my grandparents.
No, I did it one time.
So part of me wants to go in. But there was a fire there a few years ago, and so my parents said, like, it's not going to be what you remember. All of your good memories are there, and it's not going to be what you remember because a fire took out half the house.
While you guys were living there?
No, years later.
After you left?
After we left. Okay. And so it's been redone. But they told you no?
Mm-hmm. Well, they said nine, yeah.
Did you get to go in, Sam?
I did, yeah. But all of my neighbors in my old neighborhood are still the same. So I was there for like a neighborhood block party that we had been invited to. It
yeah.
was a reunion of all the people that used to live on that block.
Was it weird when you went in?
Well, they completely gutted it and remodeled it.
So it was nothing that you remember.
On the outside, it looked exactly the same. And on the inside, you would not have known that it was the same house.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm always kind of weirdly fascinated with going back there. In fact, I have asked multiple times. There is a bar that was hand-constructed by my grandfather, my father, and my two uncles. And I have asked 100 times. I've written a letter. I said, if you ever get rid of that, I will pay you for that. My father and my grandfather made that together when my dad was in high school. And he won't write back. I even found him on Facebook.
Is it in Topeka? Or
it's in Topeka.
It's a bar?
Yeah.
And you want to buy it?
Yep. I'd pay a crazy amount of money for that because they bought it. My dad's initials are carved.
They built it.
They built it. My dad's initials are carved on the inside of it. And I can't get the guy to give it up. I'm like, give up your bar. Like, what do you want for it? I'll pay you. What do you want?
He's probably going to want like $100,000.
I think it's worse than that because he won't reply to me.
Why don't you go in it? and just belly up and say, I'll take a beer. And by the way, I want to know what you want to sell it for.
Because it's in his house. I'd be arrested for trespassing.
The bar's in his house?
Yes. It was in the house.
Yeah, it's like a wet bar in your basement.
And I want that bar.
Oh, you want the bar that's in the basement?
That my father and grandfather built.
I thought you were talking about like a brick and mortar.
No.
Like, you know.
I mean, they built it through shop class or whatever. I mean, it's a big bar.
Okay. You didn't explain that properly. I thought you were talking about like some hole in the wall bar, like the Keyhole down on Johnson Drive.
Yeah, he will not give it up. I'm like, name your price. Nope.
Hmm. You called him?
I Facebooked him.
That's it?
I said, will you please?
Why don't you knock on the door?
Because I think by now he thinks I'm crazy.
Yeah, really? Who's this weirdo trying to get my bar?
There's a young man in a t-shirt. Let's do rock and roll station.
I read this last night and it broke my heart, but it's also very puzzling. The daughter of a missing Prairie Village woman is finally talking about her mom's disappearance a year ago. Follow me here, Scott. A year ago.
Okay.
This woman disappeared. And you might be thinking, I don't remember hearing about a woman who disappeared in Prairie Village, which is what makes this story so concerning. The woman's name is Angela Green. She is 52 years old. Her daughter is 19 years old, I think a student at KU. No one has been arrested or charged. And the husband, Jeffrey Green, has reportedly not chosen to talk to police about his wife and has hired a criminal defense attorney. Quoting here from the 19-year-old daughter, Ellie Green, I do not believe my mother is alive anymore. It started just over a year ago when her life turned into a nightmare, she said, over confusion entangled with all kinds of stories told by her father about what happened to her mom. She was reported missing in February, 8 months after the daughter said she last saw her mom in person, which that in and of itself is a little weird that you wouldn't see your mom in 8 months. So first the husband tells the daughter, your mom had a mental breakdown and I've taken her to a mental institution.
Okay, so the husband tells the daughter,
she had a breakdown.
Mom had a mental breakdown.
I've taken her to an institution, but he wouldn't tell her where. And the daughter said, oh my God, let me get her makeup. She's going to want her clothing. Let me go visit. And the dad said, no, and do not tell her family. You know, we're going to work through this privately and figure out what the doctors have to say about it. Mm. A little bit later, the dad texts her and says, I need you to come home. Your mom actually has had a stroke and died. And the daughter says, well, where is she? And he will not answer questions about that. So finally, like a year later, she reaches out to the mom's family. And they are in another part of the country or the world. And says, I guess she's dead. I don't have any information for you. There is no autopsy. There is no death certificate. There is no trace of 52-year-old Angela Green. None. Hmm. Police say the leads have grown cold. They've been to Topeka to try to look up records. Is there any record of any death with a woman of this name?
Well, but the story doesn't match up.
And the answer is no. After police got involved, Green says her father changed the story again, that his wife had maybe run off with a friend. So we've gone from mental institution to stroke and death to run off with a friend. She says, my mom, never. There is no record. She traveled anywhere, never used her bank account. She left her phone, car, passport, and driver's license at home. It has been more than a year. That is not my mom.
That is not anybody.
And Prairie Village police are asking if you know what happened to Angela Green to please call them.
It's Get to the news here in just a moment. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.